Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, my phone's not working. I don't know.
You're good. You're good, Corey. We can hear you. What's going on, everybody? It's a beautiful Sunday morning.
No, really.
Morning, Rob. Morning, Corey. It is a beautiful Sunday morning.
I'm glad that it finally cooled off a little bit here. It is so nice out now.
Oh, I know.
And all day yesterday, they see Austin City Limits. I know, Corey, you were there last weekend. I saw Gary Clark Jr. play yesterday. Mesmerizing. That guy is incredible. Like a real-life Jimmy Hendrix. I didn't know who he was before yesterday, but wow, absolutely blew my mind. Saw the last ever Donald Glover performance as Childish Gambino is what he's saying. He says he's not going to do any more Childish Gambino. I saw his show last night. Yeah, he says he's done with Childish Gambino, but last night the lights, probably 50,000 people, 50,000 of your closest friends there to watch him tear it up on the stage. It was unreal. Unbelievable. And the nice thing was all the Big 12 football yesterday was pretty much in the afternoon and stuff, so we could just follow that and then totally lock it on that festival last night. It was a lot of fun. And I'm going back today. My girlfriend is super, super excited to see Casey Musgraves. She has this cool blue country dress with these red boots that she's going to wear. She's been planning out her outfit for like 2 months.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we're going to go do that this afternoon.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it should be fun. But this is probably the first Sunday I haven't sat down and watched NFL football from start to finish since the beginning of the season. I'm a football guy, Kylie. I mean, I would rather be in front of my TV watching four games than at a music festival for the most part. But, you know, got to do it every once in a while.
Right, especially when you're planning an outfit for 2 months.
Right, there's no way I can agree with that one. Yesterday, I had to duck off to the beer garden area to go watch the end of the Texas OU game. There was actually a really fun crowd in there, because obviously being in Austin, we had probably, you know, 200-300 Texas fans in there watching. It was a good time. Good place to watch a game.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
And it got kind of crazy when there was quite a few Baylor and Texas Tech fans there as well. I was standing over there watching the end of that game as well, and all the controversy that surrounded that one. And I was, there were some people who were heated after that one.
Oh yeah, I love going to places like that when a bunch of the Big 12 fans are there, not just the teams that are playing, because you all get to talk trash to everyone, and then it's just a fun time.
Right. It was a really good time. Everybody's there, you know, in a good mood, just having fun, watching football, listening to music. It doesn't get any better than that.
Not at all. But there
was some good action yesterday, though. I mean, we kind of all expected Texas and Oklahoma to be the headliner. I don't think any of us were really surprised with what happened in that game yesterday. But Texas Tech and Baylor, wow.
Rob, can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go, Corey.
All right. Oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about. What game did you start with?
We were actually just talking about ACL and watching all the games in the beer garden yesterday with our fellow Big 12 Nation fans.
Okay. So let's go and – so both of y'all were at ACL yesterday?
Oh, no. I was at home.
Oh.
I watched the games in the comfort of my
All right, guys. So let's get to the games yesterday. And I don't know how you started, but what I was trying to get to was, let's go straight to Texas. Kylie, let's hear your opinion, and then we'll finish with Rob, and then I'll go with mine.
All right.
So Texas and Baylor, Red River Shootout is always my favorite game of the year, NFL or college, always an exciting game. Malcolm Roach got ejected for targeting, I believe it was in the second half. So that kind of hurt us. When Texas I thought the defense for Texas was spotty. We had a lot, like two quarters where we played legit defense on them. We got to Hurts a few times, and when we did, he threw an interception or threw it out of bounds. But then with our offense struggling like it did, of course the defense is going to get tired. It's not going to be able to perform that great the entire game. We were going three and out, couldn't get first downs. Like, Texas couldn't drive at all. OU's defense was a lot more impressive than they've been getting credit for. I think their defense can take them to a national championship this year. As far as Texas offense, Ellinger didn't throw a touchdown pass for the first time this season. They were struggling. They couldn't get anything going. I know Tom Herman was trying to stick to the run game. I was confused as to why, because it wasn't doing anything. That Oklahoma defensive line was just too much. They were swarming. Murray was getting in there all the time. I wanted to see them go to Colin Johnson a lot more. But Rashawn Johnson was carrying us. He scored that touchdown. He had a long drive there in the beginning. But we allowed 9 sacks on Ellinger. So Texas has a lot of work ahead of them. They want to compete for the playoffs next year, because I don't know if they're going to get there this year. Big 12 championship still in the talk if we don't lose any more games. But we definitely have a lot of work to do. But OU is looking like on fire. I think they're going to take it all the way to the championship this year.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think a lot of what we have been saying all year, we came true yesterday, and it came to fruition. Oklahoma is dominant and is absolutely cut above the rest of the teams in this conference. For example, what they did to Texas yesterday, 9 sacks. You know, they physically dominated them from the point of attack. They dominated them with the running game, with the defense, which is a totally different brand of football than what OU is accustomed to doing. You know, we're all used to the high-flying offense with Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and all those guys that they've had in the past. And granted, they still have those offensive playmakers with Jalen Hurts, CeeDee Lamb, Kennedy Brooks. You know, they have playmakers all over the field, but they are an offense that can come out and dominate the time of possession by running the ball, being physical, and then giving it back to a defense that flies around the football field, hits you right in the mouth, and forces some turnovers as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, with all their key players that they have, like, Lamb had an outstanding game yesterday. He just tore us apart.
He's unbelievable.
He caused so many missed tackles, and that was, I think, the story of our defense was we had so many touches on him, we just couldn't tackle him at all. So with Lamb and then Hurts and then, like you said, the run game, and now their defense showing up like it is, I think they're going to be really hard to stop.
Right, and especially when you can win a game in a bunch of different ways. You know, they can win a game that's going to be a shootout where both teams are throwing the ball all over the field and, you know, putting up a 50-burger, or they can win a lower-scoring game where it's going to be kind of a defensive battle, come down to running the football and stuff like that. And I think that's just a totally different dynamic than we've seen from the Sooners in the past couple of years.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're evolving, and it's only looking good for them. So my hat off to Oklahoma.
Corey, I know you have a strong opinion about this. What did you see yesterday?
I'm just going to keep it simple, though, this time, Rob. I'm going to just say this, man. All isn't lost for Texas for the simple fact that, you know, they still can go 10-2. They can go 10-2. They still have a great record. They can still get a New Year's Six. What they better worry about is Baylor. Number two, running the ball, I think one of us spoke about that a couple weeks ago. He stepped up. That was pretty cool. And honestly, next year, Sam Ellinger has a better chance at going undefeated because he'll be a senior, Ingram will be a junior. They can win at LSU. They'll definitely should be able to win in the Red River Rivalry next year in the senior year, unless Lincoln Riley pulls somebody from the NFL to transfer in. I don't know where he gets this from, but he's a hell of a coach. But what do you say, Rob?
Spencer Rattler, their backup QB. He's going to be the best quarterback in the country next year.
So, I mean, yeah, but Sam Ellinger being a senior in the defense with Tyler Lando, if they all come back, I think they'll play hard enough to edge out that game next year. I think they'll play as hard as they can. Ingram will be older. So, in my opinion, all is not lost. They fought hard. They covered the spread or the line like everybody's been talking all year.
Yep.
And they should be okay. But like I said, what they better start worrying about is Baylor and at Iowa State if they want to finish 10-2. And also I look at it like this. Just 5 years ago, Rob, they were going 5-7, 5-7, doing this. So anybody that wants to complain about Tom Herman, I don't know how much better you can do. UT getting double-digit wins year after year after year after year is just an excellent coach. So eventually, if you give Tom Herman the time, the man's going to win a national championship. He knows what he's doing. But the game was what I thought it would be. Ellinger's not a quitter. He's going to fight to the end. But everybody knew Oklahoma just overall had the better team. Sometimes, I talk to you about this all the time, Rob. Sometimes the shit just don't come down to coaching. Sometimes you just got better players. And when you get out coached is when you have not so great players and you beat a team with better players. But when you have two elite coaches, I know when we say elite coaches, we mean Saban and Dabo Sweeney. But right under that, I think these two guys are next because they're the two young guys and they're up and coming. So what you have to take from that is what I expected. It was a hard-fought game. It was a good game. It makes the Big 12 look excellent because everybody else, like the SEC, is overrated. They look bummy to me. And, Texas has a chance to go to straight up two New Year's Six Bowls. And you know what? They may have a chance to kick another SEC team's ass in New Year's Six Bowl. And that's just going to keep making Texas get bigger and bigger. And it's bringing the rivalry back to where it was 06. Because that was when Vince Young was there, and when they had that rivalry back then in 05, 06, that meant the person had a chance at the national championship. So that's good news.
Yeah, it's always fun as a fan when you have teams like Texas that are good. I hate when Texas is down. I want to see the Dallas Cowboys be good, the New York Giants, Texas, Oklahoma, USC, all the blue bloods. As a fan, it's just better for football when those teams are good. And especially when you're Texas, granted there's no moral victories or anything like that, but you've lost to two of the top five teams in the country. There's absolutely no reason to hang your head. Everything you set out to do at the beginning of the year is still in front of you, and you can make that happen. So like you said, they just need to regroup and focus on winning their games the rest of the year because the Big 12 is deep, and they are still going to have some tough games.
Yeah,
exactly. Texas Tech might kick your ass. You don't know. Texas Tech could come out the woodwork and kick your ass too.
Yeah,
they should have beat Baylor yesterday.
What was that, Rob?
Texas Tech should have beat Baylor yesterday.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was an exciting game. On that game, that was the first game Baylor's won as a ranked team with Matt Rhule, so. That was exciting to see. Texas Tech, that was their second game against the top 25 opponent, and they almost beat Baylor. I know they beat Oklahoma State last week, which is crazy.
All with the backup quarterback.
Let's get into the details of that game, Rob. Let's go ahead and get into the details of that game, and then let's go around board. Let's start with Rob. After the details, let's go to Kylie, and then I'll finish.
Okay, listen, so everybody probably has seen the play at this point, the butt fumble by the center that they called an illegal snap, penalized.
Hold up, Rob. Before you finish, I just got to get something off my chest. It has nothing to do with you. Okay, so when I listen to the horn, it's the local station here in Austin. I don't know if you listen to it on the way to work, like I said, if you get a chance,
listen to
it in the morning. And they were talking trash about Arizona and Sumlin and how Texas Tech – wasn't that good and all that. And then after that, Kevin Sumlin goes, this is the most physical, and I probably told you this before, Rob, this is the most physical, toughest Texas Tech team afterwards. Khalil Tate was out. So many people were out when they had to play UCLA that next week. Also, you got to remember Arizona went on the road at Colorado. Colorado's pretty damn good. And what people don't understand is they just think because Sumlin didn't do good at A&M, they thought that Sumlin wasn't that good of a coach. And now they see he's 4-2 at Arizona in a pretty tough, I think, Pac-12 conference as far as certain teams he plays. In addition to that, look at A&M. Lost to Alabama yesterday. So guess what they'll probably be? 7-5, 8-4, 8-5 at the most after a bowl game. Sorry, Rob, just had to get that off my chest. Go ahead.
No, man, that's a really good point. Just look at some of the talent that Kevin Sumlin brought into Texas A&M. He took that program to new heights that they had never seen before. So anybody who says that he can't coach or build a program, they just don't know what they're talking about. And, yeah, Texas Tech this year is really different than they've been in the past as well. You know, they have a guy who's leading the country in interceptions right now. And just the way they battled through adversity, when their quarterback Alex Bowman got hurt, Jet Duffy stepped right in and had a big win against Oklahoma State, played pretty well against Baylor yesterday. They can run the football. They play pretty good defense. You know, it was tied at 20, headed into overtime. So not a super high-scoring game. But what happened was, the center snapped the ball. This is at the beginning of the first overtime, Corey and Kylie. The center snapped the ball straight into his own butt, and it was a fumble. Texas Tech recovered, but the referees made an incorrect call, called an illegal snap, penalized Baylor 5 yards, but they were able to keep the ball. So if they ruled it a fumble the way they should have, Texas Tech would have had the ball, and all they would have needed was a field goal to win the game. So there's been a lot of outrage online and in the beer tent yesterday at ACL about that call. And to be honest with you, Texas Tech got screwed. They got screwed out of a win. You know, a game when they went into Waco and battled with their backup quarterback, did everything they needed to do to come out on top. And unfortunately, that call just didn't go their way yesterday. So Baylor 6-0. And, you know, here come the Bears.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they got cheated out. Unfortunately, those calls happened, and there's not a lot you can do about it, but they tried to fight back with that diving catch. That was a huge catch for a touchdown there in overtime. But Baylor made that 97-yard drive. I saw grit and toughness for Baylor to drive that to have a chance to win in overtime, which they did. I'm excited, though, about Texas Tech. I love it when Texas Tech is a competitor in the Big 12. And so I think beating Oklahoma State last week, competing against Baylor, or making it go to a second overtime this week, I think they're going to have a lot to show out for the rest of the week, for the rest of the season. As far as that backup quarterback, I know Duffy, he had 2 interceptions and 1 touchdown yesterday, but a lot of exciting things to come from him, and so it's going to be good. I think this is really good for the Big 12. We always beat each other up in the Big 12. It's never really blowout, so this is exciting to see.
Okay, somebody's echoing in the background, so try and turn that down. Baylor is doing a good job under Matt Rhule. He did what he was supposed to do. Texas Tech is way more physical than they've been any time under Cliff Kingsbury. And I'm not saying Cliff Kingsbury is a bad coach. I still think he's a great coach. But them being physical along with having an offense is going to make them a problem. And right now, we don't know who the 3rd and 4th team is in the Big 12. And I told everybody early in the year, and a lot of people said this, what Texas better worry about late November is that game versus Baylor, because that could be a trap game. Oklahoma has to play Baylor too. You just don't know what team might show up. But from top to bottom, the Big 12 looks excellent, and I'm loving everything about it. So it was good to see that that game went to overtime, and it went the way it did. But Matt Wells will be doing big things if he keeps this up in the future. And Matt Rhule, he did what he was supposed to do. He got a lot of criticism, took over a program with a lot of drama. Nobody has to hear about it no more, and now he's just going in that right direction, and he's got to get Baylor brand back to where Baylor needs to be. So with that being said, let's go ahead, Rob, and let's jump into that ass-whooping Iowa State put on somebody yesterday.
So I kind of put my foot in my mouth on that one. I was talking trash about Brock Purdy last week. About Iowa State, I just hadn't liked what I had seen from them.
I saw the Facebook fans getting in your ass about it too. You going to eat your crow in front of the fans?
They let me know, and I'll wear that one. I was wrong on that one. It's Brocktober, Corey. It's Kylie. It is Brocktober. Iowa State in 2017 is 9-0 in October. This has been the month that they traditionally turn things around. And, you know, I was wrong about these guys. They came out and absolutely annihilated West Virginia. granted, West Virginia is one of those teams that's really hard to figure them out. They had a big win against North Carolina State earlier in the year, but they've also came out and got beat up pretty bad in conference play. So, like you just said, you know, teams 3 through 9 in the conference, it's really a toss-up right now. We don't know who's better than who, but we're definitely going to find out. Iowa State is one of those teams that's probably competing for – their fans think that they're the second-best team in this conference, guys. They definitely believe that. They've been posting it online, you know, with a lot of the comments that we get and stuff like that. So the Iowa State fans are all in on this team. They believe that they're the second-best team in this conference. They think that they're better than Texas. They think that they're better than Baylor. And you know what's really exciting is that every team in this conference has to play each other, so we're going to find out.
Yeah, no, I agree. That was an exciting game to watch. The freshman, Breece Hall, he was super exciting to watch. He had 132 yards for 3 touchdowns. I think if he keeps performing that way, he can open up the run game a lot and take some of the pressure off of Purdy. So Purdy can do more as a true quarterback and not have to worry about running it so much. I think Hall's going to help ISU out a lot. West Virginia, I think, yeah, like you said, Rob, they're a hard team to figure out. They're getting beat up in the Big 12. I think they're going to have to figure it out. As far as,
Does Brock Purdy remind you at all of Sam Ellinger? When I watch those two play, they kind of, you know, play a similar style of quarterback.
Yeah, they both have that grit and toughness to them, and being able to catch their receivers, and then being able to run like they can. Like, it's very similar. So, and I that's probably another reason why ISU fans think that they are the second best team in the country or in the conference. I don't know if they've proven that. To me personally, but it's possible. You know, it's the Big 12. Anything can happen.
I'm not shocked at all. It's a good conference. And honestly, Rob, what I really want to see now, I just want to see Iowa State versus Texas Tech, because that's what we're going to learn from next week.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not shocked at all. I know West Virginia is okay, but now West Virginia, Kansas State, they'll have to battle it out to see who's at the bottom. Oklahoma State, get somebody at home next week. That's going to sit like – so it's just a lot of stuff this week, because this was really a small week, only 3 games. So next week I think is going to give us more, but I think what that Iowa State game told me was, okay, now I want to see Iowa State on the road at Texas Tech, which if Iowa State wins, I still won't be surprised, because they're good at that. Like I said a couple weeks back, kicking your ass at your home place. They did it to Oklahoma and almost ruined their national championship hopes a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did. And this is going to be their biggest test so far of the year. Going on the road to Lubbock, you know, a tough place to play. A Texas Tech team that's been playing well the last couple of weeks. Jet Duffy, who's, you know, coming in like a freight train the way he's playing. And, you know, a game that they're going to be bitter that they lost that game yesterday at Baylor. But, you know, big game against Iowa State at home next weekend. So we'll see what happens there. I think that's kind of a battle of those teams that are right there in the middle of the conference, right there after Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think right there after in the middle of the conference, there's a lot of teams like Texas Tech, ISU, and Oklahoma State and Baylor. Like, we don't know exactly where they're sitting at in the conference right now. They're going to be beating each other up here in the last few weeks of the regular season, so it's going to be exciting. A lot of eye-opening games coming up. So,
yeah, I know. I know Texas has lost twice already this year, but like I said earlier, they lost to 2 of the top 5 teams in the country. So anybody who wants to penalize them for that, I'm sorry, that's just not a valid argument. I still personally, I think Oklahoma is head and shoulders above everybody in the conference. I think Texas is 1B or, you know, number 2 in the conference. And then I think there's a little bit of a drop-off once you get to Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Baylor,
mm-hmm.
to all those teams.
Yeah, I definitely think Texas will make it back to the Big 12 championship. I think it might be a repeat of last year.
Yeah.
But Well, I mean, if Baylor puts up a good fight, they might prove me wrong and end up there. So, and if Texas doesn't get their defense together and if injuries keep hurting us, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
Right.
But I know that
all right.
The Texas on Facebook and social media, and I've seen a lot of the Texas fans talking about how they want Orlando out of there. And I don't understand that. I'm like, you have to give the man time. Like, be the freshman that he's playing with. And they did great against Oklahoma, as good as they could have. So I don't think that talk needs to be happening right now. Todd Orlando's job position is fine, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so going on into our picks. Like I said, Zion Williamson's in town. I'm about to get up out of here. Sorry, podcast people. But so I'm going to go into the first one, and we're going to do the roundabout like they always do. Iowa State at Texas Tech. I'm going – it's going to be close because Texas Tech is no damn joke at home. So I'm going to go Iowa State still wins this, but they're going to win it like 31-28.
31-28.
Yep, Iowa State.
Gotcha. Kyler, what do you think?
I'm going for Texas Tech in this one. They're really proven to be exciting to watch and a team to contend with, so I'm picking Texas Tech. I'm going to say 28-21 Texas Tech. They're at home. It's going to be hard for ISU.
Yeah, you know what? I'm also going with Texas Tech. I think that's just a tough place to play. I like the way that they're running the football. Jet Duffy's playing really well. So I'm also going to take Texas Tech 24-23 in a, you know, game that comes down to the final play.
Hmm.
Yep, sounds about right. It'll be a close game. West Virginia at Oklahoma. Oklahoma just had that fight with Texas, so now they're back home. They will win this game, but I don't think they'll blow them out because they will severely beat up from Texas. So I look at them when they win this 38-21 or like 38-18.
I'm going to take West Virginia. I'm kidding. I'm going to take Oklahoma. I know that they got beat up with Texas, but I think they're going to be on fire for that, and they're just going to keep rolling. So I'm going to say 46-28 Oklahoma.
Yeah, so I think this is a game. Jalen Hurts did not do much for his Heisman campaign yesterday. He seems like a guy who never loses focus, no matter who they played the week before, no matter who they have coming the next week. I think Oklahoma comes out, has a huge day. I think they win 48-14.
All right, not a bad pick. So Mike Gundy has been known for shocking people in the past. A couple of years back, Oklahoma was undefeated, and they walked into Norman 5-6, and they got out of their bowl eligible 6-6. A year they thought Coach Gundy's was on the hot seat. Also, last year when Texas was on the rise, they kicked their ass at home. Mike Gundy is the master plan of you think you're going to kick my ass, but I will kick your ass at home. And I'm going to take Oklahoma State in an upset over Baylor. And I'm going to take Oklahoma State to win this bad boy 42-28 or 42-35.
That's a tough one because I know a few weeks ago I said that Oklahoma State was going to be the number three team in the Big 12. But then they lost to Texas Tech. So on this one, I think I'm gonna pick Baylor. They're really showing out right now. They're hungry. They want a chance to compete for the Big 12. So I'm going to pick Baylor in a really close game, though. I'm going to say 32-28, Baylor.
Okay. So I'm going to take Oklahoma State. I think they have too much talent for the way that they played so far this year. Chuba Hubbard is the best running back in the country. Coming off their bye week, the guy leads the country by 256 yards in rushing, coming off of their bye week, guys. They also have Tylan Wallace on the outside. I think they have a freshman quarterback that's been developing all year. And like I said, they just haven't won the games that they expected to win. I'm taking Oklahoma State to pull off the upset. I'm going to take them 27-24.
All right. TCU at Kansas State. Kansas State and TCU both really need this win. They both need this win really, really, really bad. And I think they're about equal, but I think the support Chris Klieman has in Manhattan, along with the belief it sounds like the players have in him, I am going to take Kansas State 21-19 over TCU.
Yeah, I think like Rob says, a battle of the bottom. So I am going to pick Kansas State as well. I'm going to say it's a low-scoring game, so I'm going to say 21-17 is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I like Kansas State as well. I just can't pick TCU knowing what their quarterback situation looks like. Max Duggan, I understand he's a true freshman. He's been horrible this year. That's just the facts. So I can't see them going on the road. The Little Apple in Manhattan, I don't see them going on the road and winning that game. I think Kansas State will come out. It'll be ugly. They'll be physical. They'll run the football, you know, play a Chris Klieman brand of football. And I think they win the game 24-21. Ugly, low scoring, run the football, play defense. But I think the Wildcats come out with a win.
Okay, and Texas home versus Kansas, 6 p.m. kickoff right here in Austin, Texas. Kansas.
That might get ugly.
I don't know. Shout out to Smacker Miles. Shout out to Rob for interviewing her. You are a gorgeous girl. You're pretty, and you are what we need in media. But,
absolutely.
Sorry, your dad goes down. Your dad goes down 20. They'll score about 12. Texas would be nice. They'll give them 14. So Texas wins this 42-14. Texas gets bowl eligible, and that's it. We're on to the next week. Kansas has their struggles, but like me and Rob have said millions of times, it's going to take 5 or 6 years, man. It's not going to happen overnight at a place like Kansas.
Right.
I agree. Texas mad, and we're not just going to let Kansas do anything. I think it's going to – I don't think we're going to be nice and give it 14. I think we're only going to allow 7. I'm going to say 42-7 is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those weird games where Texas just played a physical game yesterday with Oklahoma, probably some guys that are really feeling it on their bodies. So I think it's going to be one of those weird games where Kansas comes out. Maybe they're winning at the end of the first quarter, like 10-3 or something like that. But ultimately, Texas will figure it out. And I think they do win 36-14. I just don't think it's going to be a pretty performance from the Longhorns. I think it's going to be ugly, but, you know, they're playing Kansas, and I just don't think anybody on this is going to be comfortable picking Kansas to win on the road at Texas. They're not in the same class.
Not at all.
Yep. And sorry, guys, that's our express show for today. Corey's being a jerk, and he is going to go check out some NBA, even though he's supposed to be covering college football, because I don't know when
they get some good videos
again. And what'd you say?
Get some good videos.
Oh, yeah. And then he's going to, you know, and then by what he did the other day, man. Oh, and by the way, Rob, I went last week after ACL to a Spurs game, and Shaka Smart was actually there for the game versus Orlando because Augustine plays for Orlando, and so does Mo Bamba.
Oh, gotcha.
So that was pretty cool.
Gotcha.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody would like to see Zion Williamson highlights. I don't care if they're Big 12 Nation, ACC Nation, you know, NBA Twitter. Everybody likes Zion Williamson, so we can all agree on that.
Yep. All right, guys, that's our show, Big 12 Nation, for this week. We are finally back after our week off. Everybody enjoy yourself. Peace and love. We out of here.
All right, have a good one, guys.
Bye.